I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 2:08. Chad Hartman back here with you on WCCO. Plenty of talk all day about the president's visit. We'll continue that right now. Remind you to follow us on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show. Plenty to follow today. Again, at Chad Hartman Show, a man who knows what it's like to run for statewide races in Minnesota as a Republican better than anybody over the last few years is Jeff Johnson. Jeff's still a Hennepin County Commissioner. He ran for governor in 2014 and 2018. Unfortunately, did not win, but he knows this state better than any Republican out there. And Jeff is kind enough to join us. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on, sir. How is life?
Life is good. Post-politics or somewhat post-politics, life is good, and I just got out of downtown, so life is even better.
Yeah, that is probably a good suggestion. So when you look back at your two campaigns, and then you look to try to turn this forward to 2020 for a party that you still believe in, how does Donald Trump win the state of Minnesota?
Well, I don't think he does anything different than what he did 2 or 3 years ago. He was almost there, and I suppose what you'd add to that is he will show up more often, and he's obviously, that's part of his plan. He's made that pretty clear. And for whatever reason, Donald Trump and his campaign team truly believe that they can win Minnesota and intend to do it. So I think we'll see a lot of him. And I think that will help. I think it'll make a difference because it will drive turnout even higher than what it was in 2016. So that would be the trick, I think, for him.
Okay. Is it harder, do you think, for Donald Trump to try to win in 2020 than it was for you in 18 and 14?
No, I think it's much. I think it's easy. I think 2020 statewide will be a much better year for Republicans and for Donald Trump than 2018 was. And the reason for that is, at least my analysis, is in 2018, everyone who disliked or hated or disagreed with Donald Trump voted. I don't think there was a single anti-Trump voter who didn't vote in 2018. But I can tell you, even though we had pretty good Republican turnout in 2018, there are a lot of Trump voters who may not have turned out because he wasn't on the ballot.
Yep.
So I think while it might not make a huge difference, for example, in the western suburbs, around in the exurbs and certainly in greater Minnesota, I think you are going to see probably very similar DFL turnout as 2016 or 2018, but you're going to see much higher Republican or at least Trump turnout than in 2018.
Okay. Do you think you would have had a better chance then because of that? Running in a presidential year?
I think yes. I think that's true, and which is kind of counterintuitive, or at least the opposite of what we've seen in history. At least in past elections in Minnesota, Republicans have tended to do better in non-presidential years. But I think Trump really changed changed that equation because there are a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who aren't necessarily Republican voters, but they probably tend to be more conservative, so they probably voted Republican when they actually showed up to vote for him. So I think running in a presidential election with Trump at the top probably would have helped. I'm not sure that won't revert back to form when he is gone and we have a different Republican standard bearer. It's hard to say because yep. Everything is so unpredictable right now.
What's your view on what's taking place tonight?
I honestly wish I could be there because I've been to a couple and they are, it's a wonderful party and everybody is celebrating and he obviously is, You know, he puts on a show. So I can't be there because I got to go to something else. I think it's good for the state. You know, I hope that there's nothing nasty that happens. I hope there's no violence or, you know, there'll be people screaming at each other, I suppose, but I hope it doesn't turn into anything more than that. And I think it's good for Minnesota that regardless of who our president is, if he is coming to Minnesota, that should be a positive thing. We should celebrate that.
Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson ran for governor in 2014 and 2018. Part of what drove your campaigns in 14 and 18, Jeff, and allowed you to win the nominations, your appeal for, you know, fiscal sanity, right? That you made this point with Tim Walz a number of times, with me when I interviewed you in debates, going to the one we did here at CCO Radio, that, you know, Tim, you're borrowing all sorts of things, but how are we going to pay for it? I make that point because now Jacob Fry, a mayor that you know you philosophically have disagreements with, is saying that when a campaign rally is taking place, that the campaign itself should pay those costs and not the city, not the city and thus the city taxpayers. Is he right?
If that were always the case and he were consistently cared about spending money, I would say yes. But I don't think that's true. And I think for anybody to argue that Jacob is fiscally conservative, I mean, that's just not, it's laughable. And so, this is all clearly about politics and everybody knows that. I think he knows that, Republicans know that, and Democrats know that. That he came right out and said, I wish I could prevent him from coming to my city. But I can't. So let's just make it difficult, essentially. And, I would love it if he were constantly worried about spending taxpayer dollars, even though I don't live in Minneapolis. But that is, it's pretty inconsistent with his general philosophy.
Well, by no means am I suggesting that Jacob Fry is a fiscal conservative. And I'm dubious also, by the way, if this was President Hillary Clinton coming to town, whether the consistency would be there. However, yep. I still think it's a fair question. And part of what I like about interviewing you is you answer questions. Isn't it still fair, even if you feel like it's driven by political differences, isn't it still fair for a campaign, whether it would be Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, or in this case, the president, if it's clearly a campaign rally, shouldn't that campaign pay the cost?
Sure. Again, if you're going to be consistent about it, yes, I think that makes sense. I just don't think that there's any consistency there with respect to Minneapolis or with Mayor Fry. That's not what this is about. It's not about taxpayer dollars. It's about trying to make it difficult for the president to come into the city. And frankly, it's worked pretty well, I think, for Jacob, because this fight, whether it's whether there's a basis for it or not, has given him some national cred with progressives. And I think that he probably likes that. I don't think it's great for Minneapolis,
yep,
but I think it's probably good for him politically.
Jeff, thanks so much. I appreciate your time, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Good to talk.
Good to talk to you. Jeff Johnson, Hennepin County Commissioner on the issue. Let's get to Keyword for Cash. It's the 8K Workday Giveaway. It's brought to you by Eyewitness News and Noon on 45 TV. The code word is BANK. B-A-N-K. B-A-N-K. Where do you send it? 72881. Don't send it here. BANK is the word. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in a national contest. Paul and Jordana will play next hour. At 19 past 2, this radio station will provide you outstanding coverage all throughout the afternoon regarding the president's visit, what is taking place with the vice president, what is taking place outside Target Center, inside Target Center, while shows continue, and also while the reporting is taking place. Oh, by the way, you could add Game 5 with the Twins and Yankees tonight, but we all know how that particular scenario played out. Let's just kind of review where we're at, because we've had a lot taking place today. We started the show And this was an idea that I put out on Facebook and on Twitter. Again, I'd love to have you follow us on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show. There's so many smart, entertaining, funny people out there in this town, obviously worldwide. We're trying to play whatever infinitesimal part we can play. So please follow us if you have a chance at Chad Hartman Show. I started this off by asking a very simple question. If you had a chance to sit down with Donald Trump for 15 minutes, would you do it? I'm rather direct in my criticism towards the president. I've never hid from that in any way. I react precisely to what the president does. I did not already have that idea before he came down the escalator. My view changed on Donald Trump as a person once he started driving the racist agenda of birtherism. That began poisoning the well for me because that clearly was playing up to the angry white voters in this country who weren't flourishing as well as some and were looking to blame others. I know who. Let's blame our first ever black president. What a coincidence it is that we've never once question the birth certificate or the citizenship of any of our previous 43 presidents. But wait a second. I'm a calculator. I'm a operator. I'm a brander. I'm a marketer, and I'm Donald Trump. And I see the Republicans lose decisively in 2012 after dominating in 2010. Yes, most midterm elections don't go well for the president's party, but the Tea Party crushed Barack Obama in 2010. And Donald Trump, who most of his life was fiscally well right of center and then slightly left of center, decided to play up a racist agenda. There's no defending that whatsoever. Don't give me the nonsense. Oh, nobody knows anything about him. Where's records? Where's college records? It's just complete lies. By the way, the one guy who hid his college records is the president of the United States. So I've then reacted to the various things he's done. By the way, including saying repeatedly, he's my president. He's our president. All the folks who say he's not my president, give me a break. Yes, he is. Russia was unbelievably involved in their attempts to alter this race, without a shred of doubt. If you don't believe that, you don't believe all the president's own people. Literally, Donald Trump is the only person left who doesn't believe that. You can defend it and say, well, guess what? They didn't alter a single vote, and they didn't. They clearly attempted. On the record, again, all of Donald Trump's people saying were involved in this, that they did try to alter votes. But then if you don't believe that, in fact, you don't believe in any advertising. So various other things, and continuing to react to what the president has to say and decisions he makes, including another just completely impulsive decision the other day. Has a conversation with the president of Turkey, and without consulting with other people in the administration, without consulting with this Pentagon, just says, we're pulling all the troops back, and then we're leaving the Kurds, who, according to Ralph Peters, by the way, for decades a Fox News analyst, for decades a staunch Republican, but now he's so outraged by the president, he speaks out against the president. Ralph Peters saying, by far, our greatest allies in the Middle East outside of Israel, and we're just leaving them to be slaughtered. And how does the president think about that when people are going to be brutally murdered? Well, I'll ruin their economy. Talking about Turkey. Well, what does that do for the 5,000-10,000 other people? Well, what does that do for the 10,000 Kurds who've died, by the way? Now, if you want to further where he stood and say, listen, we got to keep pulling troops back, we're fighting too many wars, that's a defendable position because so many people in this country are war weary. How many times have we had Colonel David Hunt, another regular on Fox News for this so-called bias show, where Colonel Hunt said, well, you know, we've just moved so far past what we're trying to do, what we initially were trying to do in Afghanistan and Iraq. But now we're just allowing Turkey to go in there and slaughter individuals. And then when he's asked what's going to happen to the 10,000 ISIS detainees, excuse me, he goes, well, they're going to go back to Europe. How the hell does he know that? I mean, it is just bizarre. So I'm reacting to the specific events. All that said, I would meet and sit down with the president every single time. Some of it, sure, is driven by this job and curiosity. And I probably would be left shaking my head, but I absolutely would sit down with him. So we had a lot of conversation about that. If you want to continue to chime in on that, you can through a text right now. If you would sit down with the president for 15 minutes, if you'd love to do it, you believe in him, spread the word. 651-989-9226 through text. If you think you'd rather do anything but sit down with the president, send a text at 651-989-9226. We also put that out there on Twitter, and we put that out there on Facebook. We had a conversation, good one, with Tom LoBianco, who has a book out on Mike Pence, because Mike Pence becomes more and more prominent by the day, including with the story involving Ukraine and what took place when Mike Pence spoke to the Ukrainian president. Then at 1:30, we had on Mayor Jacob Frey, and part of what part of the conversation involving Jacob Frey, we reacted to what Jennifer Carnahan had to say, the head of the Republican Party in the state, when she was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer, when she said that Jacob Frey is stopping media members from interviewing Trump supporters in the Skyway. Okay? This is at a time, by the way, when multiple outlets, including this radio station, are in the Skyway interviewing people. Asked Mayor Frey about it, he laughingly dismissed this idea and said, I have nothing to do with that. Check with the Secret Service. Jennifer Carnahan, in the last hour, had tweeted out, the city of Minneapolis, quote, unquote, relaxed the policy at noon today, and TV crews are now allowed in the Skyway. So any tweets, including at CCO Radio, saying it was incorrect, are wrong. She then adds, this was given to me by someone that works at a TV station in our city. So I tweeted back at her, was this just one person? Was this just one single person? Were there multiple people? And how do you know specifically this was directed by the mayor? Because if it was, I would love to hear that. Because then Jacob Frey just lied to us on the air, and I would point that out repeatedly. But Jennifer Carnahan, as right now the most visible voice of any Republican in the state, is going to put out that message off one person who works at a TV station. This couldn't be, by the way, Secret Service combing through Target Center. No, it couldn't be that, could it? But one person puts it out there, and then all of a sudden, this is a bit of a backpedal. So I did question her on Twitter, because I would hope someone of the gravitas of the head of the Republican Party in this state isn't going to go with something just off one single person. And we had Jeff Johnson on the fiscal side. And listen, I've said it all throughout the week. I'm dubious that if this was President Hillary Clinton, that Jacob would be as insistent. His point when I asked him that specific question last hour was, let's be honest, we wouldn't see the same type of protest. Well, who knows where we'd be at if we're 2.5 some years into the Clinton presidency. But the consistency does matter. For me personally, as I said also multiple times, I think this is a debate where all the while it was going on, Frey should have rose above, in my view, his disdain for Donald Trump. A disdain which I think do a lot of us feel like is justifiably earned by the words and behavior. And not lowered himself to the president's level and just said, the city's welcome, Target Center's welcome, but pay your damn costs. Because again, you name the candidate. This should have been a law all along. It's ridiculous it wasn't. That anytime it's a campaign, and clearly this is a campaign rally, any candidate should be paying the cost. So a lot of stuff on politics all throughout the day. Carter's walking in for a quick news update. Then Dara, since we've basically had outside about one segment with Shaletta, it's been pretty much all politics all day, rightfully so, with the president coming to town. Adam, an update, and then some fun with Dara in moments.
And now it's time for some Twin Cities culinary talk with two foodies. One actually knows what they're talking about. The other just does it to be pretentious.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Bringing her expert opinion, it's Minneapolis St. Paul food critic, Dara.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm like a drink at the end of your shift.
I need to
stack it up.
I need a cigarette right now or a shower or something. It has been, it's been a rather interesting first 2.5 hours. Can I start with this topic?
Yeah.
So all around Target Center, for all the valid reasons, with the president coming to town, they've shut down street after street after street. And obviously most of these restaurants are shut down, right? The ones that are right nearby. Should they be compensated?
By whom? Who would compensate them?
Yeah. Is it just a part of the deal that if you're going to have a place that's in proximity, like a place like this, occasionally there could be events involving the president or something else where in the rare occasion you're shut down and too bad.
I was trying to figure out what I would do if I was a owner of something like Glucks, you know, so Glicks rather.
Yeah.
So let's say on the one hand, you got to figure your first priority is to protect your employees. That's mm-hmm. number one, protect your employees.
Because a lot of businesses at about noon today said, go home.
Offices are, the skyways are empty.
Yep.
There was no, I walked here. You could park anywhere in my parking garage. You can just fly a kite in the middle of some of the biggest, most, you know, traffic streets of downtown Minneapolis. Right. People are not here. It is like a blizzard day.
Not down by Target Center, but everywhere else.
Not down by Target Center, but on the east side of town. Anybody that could stay home basically did. And so I'm not talking about the restaurants because they obviously have posted hours, but you know, you're a little law office. My office is work from home optional today. Oh, a lot of people just are not here. The accounting firm that's in my building is basically a ghost town. Like, people are working from home because you can. It's your computer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but if you own something like Glicks, it's like your first obligation is to protect your employees.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got a certain obligation to protect the business. You don't want to just like sit in there empty with Yahoo's throwing chairs through the window. You got to be there to kind of make sure that's okay. Optionally, perhaps people are going to need a cup of soup and a beer, and it's going to be, you know, so I don't have the answer.
Well, if you're a couple blocks away, I got to believe you're open and you're hoping you're going to, I mean, you're getting about 17,000 in the building. We have no idea. It's going to be 5,000 protesters, 10,000. Who knows? So
couple blocks away, though, that's the people I think that will get hurt the most because the people in the aisle.
Well, right nearby, they're shut. The streets are shut down.
The streets are shut down. But when, you know, in Minneapolis, when streets are shut down, that often means a boost in business. People are milling around. First Avenue is doing this big thing where they're giving all proceeds today to Planned Parenthood. So are they going to?
They got Baby Trump on
top.
Baby
Trump up top. A lot of, you know.
I always thought the guys at First Ave were big Trump supporters. I was really surprised by that.
Rock and roll. A lady-owned rock and roll bar is pretty much where you're not going. Did you see the stuff when people are like, oh, I'm never going to come to Saloon when I'm in Minneapolis?
What frauds.
It's like, well, you're not going to come to the Saloon because you're not there for the gay dance parties that the Saloon has. That we do at the Saloon.
Same thing with First Ave. All the people, I'm never going to First Ave. Here's the deal.
You were never going anyway.
Either you're not going, or by the way, you're a fraud because next time an act is there that you like, you're going to go.
Well, all these people are posting and they live in, you know, Ohio or something. It's like the Saloon doesn't need your business. You're not getting in your car, driving 19 hours to come have a beer. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So will those businesses in the eye of the storm, you know, how do they net out at the end of this? I don't know, but I would tend to guess everything that's just like a couple blocks away going to be a ghost town. Nicollet Mall, like who's going to go, you know, into the eye of the storm for that?
Well, I'm just, I think we're different a little bit. I'm not convinced the ones right by the Pelasgian News. Well, I'm saying a block or two away. I think those might do better. But let's get to other matters. A restaurant you're telling me about here that you pay what you can. Like, we've had these pop up elsewhere in the country. Is this our first significant one here in town?
As far as I know, I mean, obviously there are a great number of food shelves. I'm a big supporter, as you know, of Loaves and Fishes, which
yep.
has a bunch of drop-in sites, and you can go get food.
We've had those folks on with you on our Let's Kick Hunger Day.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So this is now right off Lynn Lake, you know, corner of Lyndale and Lake, South Minneapolis, Provision Community Restaurant. If you don't have any money, you can just go in and they will feed you. But it's a private initiative, so they're hoping that around 20 people a day come in and pay, you know, $20 or so a pop for food. So they want people that can't afford to eat there to come in and pay for it. So we're gonna see. You know, people always say you want the private sector to take care of things. Well, let's see what happens.
Yep. Okay. The Edina location, right near 50th and France, like. I don't think many of us want to be a part of a drive to help raise money for the folks at 50th and France. But this is a location where it's turned over a number of times. Tell people about the location and what's going in, why you think it hasn't worked.
Well, I don't know why it hasn't worked. Okay, so it's a corner of 50th and France. Used to be Mazza Mia. It's been 100 things, it feels like. And it's a large restaurant space. And the people of Edina, you know, their royal wisdom drive the Mercedes to and, you know, from their wonderful yoga classes. They just don't like the whatever's been in there. Anything that's in there, they don't like it.
I thought Mazza Mia was fine.
Mazza Mia was fine.
Yeah.
It was large. It was expensive.
It's a big place.
Yeah. So, you know, you gotta get 300 people in there. There's nowhere to park around there. You know, they put in the big building in the back, and so the ramp is gone, and this is some small ball. All right, so you know Barrio, which is kind of down around the corner?
Mm-hmm.
That's owned by Parasole. That was a spinoff of the second one that was in downtown. Just put a pin in that because if you want some gossip, we'll just get our minds off
let's go.
All this stuff. Let's just have it. So what is going into that big space on 50th right around the corner from Barrio? Well, it would be Pajarito. Pajarito is fantastic. I love it. Delicious place in St. Paul. Okay, so have you been to Pajarito?
I have not. I hear great things. I know you
so
said
good.
It, but I've also had other friends.
It's so good. They make fantastic drinks. They have this smoky jalapeno margarita that is just I crave it. It's so delicious. They do fantastic tacos, beautiful salsas. All right, so it's two chefs that kind of left to start this up. It's Tig Nelson, and he used to be the chef. I can't even get this out without like smirking. He used to be the chef at Chino Latino, and it's Stephen Hesse, and he used to be the chef over at Libertine. Well, those are two Parasole properties, and when and so they are now going head to head with their old employers. But that's not all. Both Tig and Stephen are proteges of Tim McKee. Tim McKee,
sure.
One of our great chefs in the Twin Cities. Well, did Tim McKee found Barrio? Why, yes, he did. And did he get kicked out of it? And the great, you know, everybody was finger pointing at each other about whether there was financial mismanagement.
Mm.
And then Josh Toma and Tim McKee got kicked out, and the original partners carried forth with Barrio. So how do you like them apples?
Guess what's coming right next door, relatively.
Yeah, so it's just a swirly little grudge match of people that, you know, could go into the Wayback Machine with some.
Okay, so how does that Barrio fare in Edina? This one downtown.
I think it does well. I don't
this one
go
downtown
there very much.
Seems busy whenever I go by, and I'll go there. I like it.
Yeah, I love the Barrio downtown. It has the best.
I do too.
You know, best margaritas in core Minneapolis, without a question. You know, there's not.
I think it's a fun place. Yep.
It's a fun place. They always have a high quality of food. I haven't been into the Edina Barrio. You know, it seems like it's keeping on, but it's I look forward to this pajarito being over there. I hope that the prices come down a bit for Edina. You know, I feel like Barrio is always the Edina one is a little more entrees and, you know, has significant salads for, you know, significant patrons. Yeah. And I feel like it's a little pricey.
Yep.
But I don't know. We'll see. If we're not going to get a taco truck on every corner, we're going to get a taco restaurant on every corner on 50th and France.
Of all places. All right, let's pause right here. We come back with Dara. The top wine bars in the area. And this is a woman who wrote a phenomenal book about wine. So she knows the topic extraordinarily well. It's 2:45. That is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to get a free quote on the world's toughest gutters, LeafGuard.
Yellow diamonds in the light.
At Dear Dara, that's how you follow Dara on Twitter. If you're so inclined, we'd love to have you follow our show on Twitter, too, at Chad Hartman Show. So I'm looking at Dara's story.
How are you liking it since you've been on? You know, so I have so many feelings. I've been on Twitter since 2009, and I feel that it has basically sucked the life out of me like a vampire. So well, how do you feel about
it? Well, I fought it for a long, long time for a myriad of reasons.
Yes, you did.
and I think they were valid reasons, but I also think it's very valid to jump on board. So it's a longer conversation.
It's a toxic swamp. Let's talk about wine.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's tied to wine. Like when you've got that first buzz going and you're really feeling good when you've had a nice glass of red wine, it's great. Maybe that third glass when it brings all sorts of mixed feelings to you, that's Twitter. It's both. It's the joy. It's the happiness. And then it's, my God, life's got to be better than this.
In the ninth glass when your family assembles yeah. around you to see if yes. there's time for an intervention.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the headline from your story. Do you know the Twin Cities is experiencing a wine bar revolution? My answer to that would be no. I did not know that. So tell me.
There's a lot of churn going on in the Twin Cities wine bar. I don't even know where to start. Just like all these, you know, like one of those puzzles where you have little tiles and you move them around and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's a pyramid.
Yeah.
Or like it used to be a flower. We kind of have that. It's like a bunch of tiny incremental steps are remaking the Twin Cities wine bar scene in front of our face. Okay. So the big opening of Bar Brava natural wine bar is happening any day now. And so a lot of kind of preliminary blocking moves have been happening since that started. Troubadour, Uptown. My favorite place in Uptown is 20 feet wide, just a little place right across from the Y on Hennepin Avenue. It's funky. It's like old, you know, replacements era Uptown, and it's just got the hippest wine list. It is just wonderful. The guy that founded it just left town to become a winemaker. That's how in California, that's how significant this place has become. But you can just kind of try all of these different glasses of wine. They have free live music all the time. They have the best cheese board in town. So that's one interesting place. Bachelor Farmer decided like, oh, we're going to just put our flag down so you can get anything on their giant wine list for half. They can buy a half bottle. And that's really rare because they have some exquisite stuff. They have unusual stuff. And, you know, then they'll just kind of put the somebody drinks half a bottle at a table, then they open it in the wine bar, and you can just taste just extraordinary things. So they have really kind of stabilized themselves after losing their very hotshot sommelier to this California
operation. Yeah, you told us about that. Okay, so let me stop on that, because how rare is that for a higher-end restaurant where you go and you get to order the half bottle? Because I would love that idea, because I like to try different things. And I feel like more often than not, we get it right, but plenty of times we don't. And so if you feel like, you know, you've only got about a glass each and you can pivot, and it also works for the restaurant, to me, that's a win for both ways.
Except it's basically unheard of because it's so expensive for the restaurant to do that. The other thing you need a balance on the other side of the seesaw if you're going to do that. You need someone to buy the other half
Correct.
Of the bottle.
So you need another bar to be there where people are inclined to buy a drink out of it?
That, or you just need the customer base that's going. So what they do is they have a chalkboard. So let's say you walk in, you look at all the wine on the list, and you're like, I want to have the Dan Cook, you know, 20 2005. And then they, you know, pour you half a bottle, and then they put up on the chalkboard, we have the Dan Cook, you know, 2005 open. And then you need a wine literate, a wine adventurous, a wine informed, you know, rest of the place to say, like, oh, yeah, I'll have that before it goes bad. And so it's just unheard of. No one does this. And Bachelor Farmer, after years and years of being there, has really cultivated a very, you know, just kind of informed and game and steady audience that will support this.
You don't see other places in town trying this?
Other places in town. This is unique in the country. I don't see anyone in the world because, you know, you have to really believe that if you open a $95 bottle of wine, because they'll do it to anything up to $100, that you can somehow move that other $45 bottle and the $45 worth of it. So where, you know, do you have those people in the building that night to deal with this? Very, you know, you have to really have a lot of confidence. And Bachelor Farmer has some deep pockets behind it. And so they don't have to worry about this.
They've been right in a lot of stuff so far.
Yeah, they've been right. They really have, you know, they've really, the Star Tribune has their big 50 anniversary taste thing going on this week. And they've highlighted these restaurants that have been around for 50 years.
Okay, so let's talk about that, right?
And
so,
that's just amazing. And you have to have that kind of, you know, I'm building this restaurant for seven generations mindset. And Bachelor Farmer really has that.
Yeah.
They keep investing in the restaurant. They keep investing in the clientele. They keep investing in the staff. And that just sort of has this virtuous circle. But that requires you to not be cash poor or really cash concerned on a lot of, you know, small moves that you make over the course of a month.
Dara is here. Her regular show is Saturday at 11. We're done in minutes. Paul and Jordana next hour. A chance for you to win $1,000 at 312. Okay, so the Star Tribune lists, this is coinciding with 50 years of their taste section. So highlighting these 50, you know, these places open for 50 years or more. What kind of stood out when you saw that list? You're aware of these places. You deal with these places. You cover these places. But when you saw the list, as somebody like yourself, with your expertise, what grabbed you?
Well, there were a couple places that I just don't think of as being around for that long. The Stockman's, you know, truck stop in St. Paul, that was one that kind of jumped out at me. And then the overall cast of them, you look at them, they're basically affordable restaurants. You know, you get your DiGidio's, you get your Jack's. We have a The other thing you always look at is that there's just this kind of starting line. It's like all modern restaurant culture started the day Prohibition ended. And that, you know, like, I don't know if that was because you got this, people were just like, we haven't been to a restaurant with a drink in 10 years. We got to get to one, you know, or what it was. But that, you know, you get talk about being in tune with the market. The people that opened the day after Prohibition ended, they have done well.
It's a pretty good ratio. That's a pretty good ratio. Okay, so let's talk Saturday. What do you got coming up?
Oh, I have Steve Dolinsky, the Pizza King of Chicago, and Amal Dixit, the guy behind Hot Indian. So we're going to talk about the kind of Hot Indian is celebrating the Festival of Lights, Diwali, in the Hindu calendar. And I just, I'm for all festivals of light. Any culture that's got a festival of light on a gray day, I'm there for you.
Hot Indian just is on fire right now, correct?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, pun intended, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like everything they seem to do, they're having a lot of success, and I am a absolute fan of their food.
Yeah, Amal worked at General Mills for a long time, and he really seems to understand the kind of nuts and bolts, dollars and cents. I mean, they're basically like a slightly different burrito. That's the main thing that they do.
Yep.
And people love it, and it's high quality, tastes good. What's not to like?
Fantastic. Thanks, Dara.
Thank you.
Okay, Dara is always with us on Thursdays. I just want to remind you, if you listen to our station, 99.9% of you realize that the President of the United States is headed our way. We certainly, on this show, have devoted a lot of time to it. I'm sure Paul and Jordana will do the exact same on all these stories that are taking place. You know, the huge supporters of the President, absolutely loving their opportunity to see him. The protesters who abhor the president, the protesters who are coming down to remind the protesters that they love the president. We've obviously had the back and forth with Jacob Frey and the president all week. We had Jennifer Carnahan, the head of the Republican Party, flat out saying that Jacob Fry was having reporters removed from the Skyway. Jacob Fry was on this show about an hour and 20 minutes ago and laughingly dismissed that. Jennifer Carnahan said at about the same time, well, Mayor Fry has backpedaled on what he offered up, and then her credibility on this was one person from a television station. I'm more than willing to listen to that story because it would be a very, very notable story. I reached out through Twitter for a response from the Republican chair and have heard absolutely nothing. Remind you, you can follow our show. We'd love to have you follow. Spread word to others. We're on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show, and you can podcast our show on a regular basis, WCCRadio.com/Chad. Carter in for me tomorrow. Here comes Paul and Jordana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.